Don't you all try to say something funny while I'm thinking something to be funny. This is where I shine, damn it. This is my show. Hello, welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 30th. 2009. Woo! Woo! It's almost Halloween!
Yeah, it's almost Halloween. There's no ghosts yet.
Woo! The ghosts are like, they're probably there already, or they're on their way there to wherever they're going. So while they're on their way, you might run into them. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is going to be great. Today, I mean, it's me. Stop! Quiet! Doing the show. This is me, Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Hatch Guy. Say hi.
Hello.
Hi. Well, also got Joey Shinoguchu.
Hey.
And David Sword Guy Win.
No rhyme scheme, unfortunately.
No, not nearly as phonetic a name. So, here's what we're doing today, everybody. We are starting off with the news. How's the news look, AJ? You gonna bore me again?
No.
You know, not that this show could ever be boring.
Well, no.
God. Never. And then we got the quiz. Then... we're going to do another Let's Go Topical. Let's Go Topical is my new go-to segment.
We've noticed.
Yes. You know, it's pretty good because, you know, it's topical, so there's always something to talk about, right?
Right.
All right. Then after that, we're going to talk about our week in gaming. Then we'll get to the game releases, and that'll be the show. Right? I didn't forget something. How many of these are done? Okay. So, why don't you get started, Ash Guy?
Okay. I guess one of the really big stories this week is the announcement of yet another DS system.
Well, this is, like, it's just a bigger screen, right?
Well, the DS Lite was a smaller system. It's not just a bigger screen, the whole system's bigger.
Really?
Well, let's start from the beginning. It is the DSi LL, and it's going to be called the DSi XL in Japan and Europe, or I mean in America and Europe.
The whole XL thing kind of has kind of a negative connotation here.
Well, it's as you said, the screens are bigger. They are 4.2 inches, as opposed to like the 3.25 or whatever the DSi. The entire unit is in fact much bigger. You can find on like the various news blogs comparison photos of the two devices.
Wait, do any of them compare the DSi and the original DS FAT?
No, but they all did compare it to DS Lite. And if you remember the Lite and the FAT, it was also sort of the size between the DSi extra large and the FAT. I mean, the Lite.
I'd say it's even greater. I mean, this thing's pretty substantially bigger. Like, this isn't going to fit in your pocket anymore.
Mm. You think?
No, it comes with the standard stylus and also like a pen stylus. It's like a lot like thicker.
Well, it'll fit in your purse.
Yes. Basically, this is for old people who can't see. I mean, it really is. It's less portable, and it's a
and
bigger
it's
screen.
How they were marketing it, or how they pitched it, anyways.
Yeah. In fact, I think it was Kotaku did a breakdown of all the weight of every portable system of this generation. This thing is heavier than a PSP 1000. That's kind of a heavy system.
Is it going to, like... it's not replacing the current DSi, is it?
No. It's not. It's coming out this winter, end of this year in Japan, sometime in early 2010 in Europe and
like
North
January,
America.
Actually, or something
yeah,
like that.
The Japanese price is the equivalent of $220. Comes loaded with three DSiWare games, and again, they're like brain games. They're like, you know, it's again, this is clearly marketed towards older folk.
Is it like, so it's kind of like the opposite of the Game Boy Advance Mini or whatever that was
the
called.
Micro. Yeah. We're going the other way. We're going bigger.
Nice.
Don't you think it's still too soon to be doing another iteration on DS hardware?
We'll talk about this more in Let's Go Topical.
Another joke that, you know, Nintendo's trying to be like Apple now, and they really were with this one-year revision.
Right.
Well, that and Apple has I in everything.
Mm. Yes.
I told you guys we're talking about this later.
All right.
Listen to me, damn it.
The other big announcement this week is that, after some speculation, Netflix is coming to the PlayStation 3, although it's kind of weird to start.
Of course you're going to find something wrong with it.
Well, I'm just saying, what you have to do is you have to use a disc to load it. You could get the disc for free by going to Netflix.com, /PS3, and they'll send you the disc next month. The disc is required for use. They'll have an integrated service sometime in late 2010, which has speculation that this is their way of getting around some sort of like exclusivity agreement with Microsoft.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's, you know, it's the same kind of deal. Instant stream, anything that's streamable, view a similar selection the way you would on the 360 of, like, without having gone to a PC. Really, the only thing you're missing, I guess, is, like, the viewing parties that you get on the Xbox 360. And, of course, the advantage of this system is that you don't have to pay for Xbox Live as well, so you lose the convenience of having instant access to it, but it ultimately is kind of cheaper. So, there it is. Still speculation that it might come to the Wii. Oh, God.
There's another thing I heard during Giant Bombcast this week. Like, apparently someone was talking to some Netflix dude that apparently it's going to be, like, PS3 exclusive HD streams or something like that. It's HD conversions. Interesting.
That's going to piss people off.
I'll have to re-listen to that, but yeah. But it probably won't be that much of a difference anyways. And people who want the Supreme HD would get the Blu-ray discs.
Right.
Speaking of Blu-ray discs.
What? What about it? Oh, do you want me to do the God of War 3 thing?
Yeah.
Oh, good call. Okay. Yeah, random announcement. District 9 Blu-ray coming out in December. We'll have the God of War 3 demo on it, even though this comes out after the God of War collection with the God of War 3 demo.
I thought was delayed till 2010.
No.
That was a baseless rumor. It's still coming out in November as planned. So, yeah, there's that.
I feel like I'm the only person who thought that movie was okay and not great.
I enjoyed it.
Well, you like every movie.
I do not.
You do, too.
I've stopped liking every movie.
You kind of have. True. There was a time, though, where you liked literally every movie except for The Triplets of Belleville and Night of the Living Dead.
You didn't like Triplets of Belleville?
Yeah, what the hell? Why did you like Triplets of Belleville?
That movie sucked.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
Chasing at the end? Come on.
That was boring.
He's tasteless.
Chasing redeemed the entire movie. Come on.
He doesn't care. He was like, why is this French? Why aren't people talking? What is going on?
I don't care. It's French. Yeah. The movie is like, look, we can draw too, and we're just going to make fun of Disney the whole time.
They had one thing about Disney in a toilet. Stop being a fanboy.
And there's that
Stop
picture.
Being a fanboy.
Moving
Stop
on.
Being a Disney fanboy. God.
Moving on.
Hey, AJ. Hmm. So what were they saying, that Disney was going to kill 2D animation? What happened right around that time?
Disney tried a 3D experiment?
Yeah, no, Disney killed 2D animation. So, you know, just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
All right, move on.
EA was announcing, they were teasing a surprise announcement for Dragon Age on the PlayStation 3 earlier in the week. And they think a genius to figure out that the announcement is that the game will, in fact, ship with all the other versions on November 3rd, not a week later. I don't know why, like, that's an announcement you have to... Like, why do you have to tease that? Why can't you just say it?
Well, everything has to be teased now.
It's like the countdown to the countdown.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like their version of the countdown clocks.
It's nice. I'm glad for the PS3 owners who want this game that really merit that. They couldn't just say it.
I still can't give a shit about Dragon Age. I'm sorry.
It's pre-order and it will be arriving from Amazon the day it comes out.
That's good for you.
Woo. Tolkien I like Fantasy that doesn't do much for me, but I'm actually fairly interested in it.
Did you see the commercials with, like, the rock and the metal music and stuff? Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
Because, you know, the new metal just fits so well with Tolkien-esque fantasy.
Exactly. I understand that music's not in the game. That was just the marketing.
Well,
people.
I would hope. I would certainly hope so.
I know.
No one would dare. No one would even try to pull that off besides Prince of Persia.
Yeah. Well, and we all saw how well that worked.
Yeah.
Although I would be slightly less surprised if I saw it in Mass Effect for that badass biotic bitch. You know,
sci-fi's different.
Yeah,
I guess.
Okay, let's go. Brutal Legend DLC is announced for November 3rd on the Xbox, November 5th on the PS3, and it'll be free on the PS3 till the 19th of November. Otherwise, it's $5. It's like cool. Two new maps. Nice little boon for the PS3 owners out there. Now let us continue into the new story of 2010.
Epic
or 2009, whatever year this is. Fuck, now I fucked up the year.
Well, it's coming out in 2010.
Yes, that's where my confusion comes from. So, first of all, I did get my hands on the Game Informer, and there was a big press event in London where a lot of stuff was finally revealed, like, more concretely. Here's some of the highlights of what we know now. First of all, the game was originally being thought of as a PS3 360 PC game until... I guess Warren Spector really wanted to be able to focus on one platform, and so the idea of just making it a Wii game allows him to do that and not have to worry also about a shoddy Wii port down the road or something. Disney Interactive has this thing called the Think Tank, and this is originally where this game started coming to fruition. This is where they had the idea of getting Oswald back, the idea of how Oswald is this bitter character, and then they're like, wait, we need someone to make this game, let's get Warren Spector, and then, you know, that's how he got there. Basic setup for this story, which is really sweet, is, like, I guess sometime around the late 30s, early 40s, the sorcerer Yen Sid created this idyllic cartoon world for all of Walt Disney's forgotten creations to live, and it was this very nice place, and it existed as this kind of, like, model on his desk. So, like, Mickey's, like, hanging out with the sorcerer, and then the sorcerer leaves the room, so while he's gone, Mickey decides to start, like, messing around with it, and he accidentally spills some paint and thinner on it. So he tries to clean it up real quick, does an okay job, and then just bolts. Then, you know, 70 years later, he's living the high life, and this world's basically screwed over because of him. And then the Phantom Blot yanks him back into it, and he must now fix what he has ruined while trying to also redeem Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, who's quite bitter.
I love how Oswald is a redeemable character. It's
yes, I know.
Oh, man.
The game's morality system sounds really great. The Game Informer article does this actually great thing where they kind of take some vague scenarios from early in the game and write down two columns, one where you play as a scrapper, one as a hero. You could see how things play out differently. It actually sounds like this might be one of the best implementations of morality in a game ever, which is kind of funny to me.
Every morality system sounds good in theory, though, I want to say. So we'll see.
So one thing, some of the examples that they gave?
Okay, let's, like, basically it involves, are you going to be destroying things to clear your path, or are you going to be creating things? Either are you going to, like, break down walls and buildings using thinner, or are you going to be using the paint to fill in stuff, maybe make it a little harder to get around, but you'll be leaving the world better off than the way you found it.
It still sounds like kill a baby, or save a baby, eat a baby kind of stuff to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's still pretty black and white, but at least it's kind of, like, organic part of gameplay rather than, like, a screen coming up saying, are you going to kill this baby or eat it?
Yeah.
I think what...
It's save it, rather.
Kill or eat it.
Yeah.
Right.
Kill it or eat it.
It's not so much maybe what you do to set your morality that I kind of like as the result. The sort of, like... it kind of goes from that scrapper Mickey to the hero Mickey, which are really two... Those really are in the past two sides of Mickey. Because Mickey used to be a much more scrappy, I guess you could say, kind of
very mischievous
character.
If you've ever seen
Steamboat Willie, he's kind of an asshole.
Right.
Yeah, he really is.
Donald Duck came along, and that all kind of went to Donald, and Mickey became the sort of more... the more friendly, sort of safe character that we know. So that's why this character is specifically designed to resemble the older Mickey.
One thing, the only thing that said this was like a picture caption in a Game Informer issue, but I think this is actually pretty important, is to note that the game is not going to be fully voiced. It's just using, like, kind of gibberish Banjo-Kazooie-esque voices with written dialogue. Yeah. Because I was wondering what they're going to do since the passing of, Wayne Allwine. I'm sorry.
Well, they have a new Mickey, I think.
Oh, do they?
They have someone who's been doing some stuff.
Yeah.
They might even just use sound bites. It'd be interesting if they used all, like, Walt Disney's sound bites of him doing the voice.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Because, I mean, you know, that's very much actually, though, when you think about it, that's how Walt Disney kind of did the character. He spoke lines, but it was kind of mumbling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that was just the sound quality of, you know, the 20s.
Right.
Hey! Yeah. Hey, Mickey, hear me! You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Hey, we got our new Mickey right here.
Yeah, there it is.
There we go.
When Charles Martinet dies, you can also do the Mario voice.
Yay!
Some of the other characters, aside from Oswald and the Phantom Blot and Mickey, the Gremlins, who are from some of the older cartoons, and I didn't recognize these guys, like, I didn't remember hearing about these guys, so I saw the picture, I knew exactly what they were. They're kind of these little dudes, like, you can either go out of your way to save for various bonuses, or you could ignore them, and this, again, affects your morality. There's the Spatters, which are kind of like the lowest form of the Phantom Blot's little offspring dudes that, you know, the enemies you fight. Then there's the Bunny Kids, who are actually Oswald's children.
He's a rabbit, so, you know.
Yeah, you know, he procreates at an alarming rate. And what's funny about them is they actually really like Mickey, much to Oswald's chagrin. And the problem with this is that, like, they're so excited to see you that they start, like, hugging you and, like, clinging on to you, and they'll slow you down. And, again, you can either treat them nicely or treat them like a jerk, but then they'll also eat Spatters if you keep them around.
I will say that maybe I'm a little disappointed by the game graphically. I'm not surprised.
I think it looks pretty good.
It looks good. And, you know, there's always that asterisk for a Wii game. You know, it doesn't obviously doesn't look like the concept art where it was kind of much more steampunk and sort of desolate. It's much more colorful and vibrant.
Someone did ask Warren Spector about all that. He said, you know, what's with this disparity? He said, well, you know, part of it is that, you know, a lot of that's really early, and we're still trying to see how far we could push this, and sometimes we cross lines and we ended up, repealing some of it. Others, parts of it are just based on concepts that are no longer part of the game. Some of it is in the game, and he's not saying what. Maybe we're still getting...
There better be a Montreal the Whale that has the demolished Epcot ball on top of it.
Yeah, I agree. I want that.
There's at least one scene that looks like a crazy Hieronymus Bosch painting.
Right.
And then finally, they're considering taking this franchise to movies, comics, all kind of stuff.
I'm sure they're going to wait to see how the game does.
Yeah, and Warren Spector said, like, nothing approved, but he has in his head how to make two or three more games out of this
Epic series. Trilogy, the Epic Mickey Trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything's a trilogy. All right. Why not?
So, yeah, basically this game's going to be incredible, and I can't wait. You know what's one little detail that I was curious to see if they're going to get, and they are? Is that no matter what way Mickey's facing, his ears always stay in proper silhouette.
Oh, how do they do that? That's hard.
I know.
Nice.
Well, they could just him, 2D, or make those ears 2D and rotate along the screen.
Quiet, you. I want to know it's magic.
It's not magic.
You're breaking
magic.
The illusion.
All right. Move on from Epic Mickey for now.
Yes. DJ Hero DLC is already out, and it's expensive. It's like $3 a track.
But What is it?
I didn't even write it down, actually.
Well,
one of them's a Gorillaz mix, isn't
it? One of them has Dare in it by the Gorillaz, so I'm getting it.
When you get the game.
Probably Christmas, but...
I mean, you know, of course they try to justify, like, oh, well, it's actually two songs, and we have to pay the DJ, but it's not like when you buy a CD of this kind of music, you pay double price or anything, so that's kind of lame.
Well, you got the press upon you, you're just thinking that's what you do, baby.
Anyways, so they probably had to pay double licensing fees. So, I mean, I can at least understand it.
I'm sure they didn't just do it for the heck of it.
I know. I guess I'm more mad at the music industry, because I think music licensing needs to be changed, because it doesn't fit this gaming music model at all.
And douchebag.
Yeah, exactly. So, two things about Bayonetta real quick. First of all, it is announced for the U.S. January 5th. This is after reports that the PS3 version is in English and in portable, but now, because it's coming out so soon, you might want to wait. However, in regards to the PS3 version, reading some Twitter feeds of various journalists who have both versions from Japan in their offices, the rumors are true. Apparently, the PS3 version runs like shit. And I was actually watching a comparison video right before we started taping, and I mean, it's noticeable.
Yeah.
Like, how much stuttering is going on in the PS3 version. It's really bad, actually.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's nice to know.
And the final update I have here is the Team Fortress 2 Halloween update that is coming out, I guess, tomorrow. They have a new map called Harvest with all kinds of Halloween hijinks, including a ghost flying around that if you see it, it actually freezes you in fear. pumpkins that explode, and that's because they have bombs duct taped to them. And there's one more thing. They got like different kinds of masks and helmets you could get, and there's more achievements as well.
Wait, what's this now? For what?
For TF2.
Oh, right. Yes. I missed that first part. When are we going to get another update for that? Are they just all... They're all making up for Dead 2, aren't they? That's what happened.
I guess. I don't know. apparently today, I'm mad I didn't know about this sooner, from like 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, Team Fortress 2 was on sale in Steam for $2.50.
Oh, yeah.
Weird. I didn't know.
Wait, you have Team Fortress 2, don't you?
I do, but Chris doesn't. I would have liked to even just gifted it to him for $2.50. I would have just done it, but all I was not around a computer at that time.
Well, next update, it'll always be cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Is that the news, Godash guy?
That's the news.
Wait, what about New Super Mario Bros. Wii's release date?
What about it?
It got announced, didn't it?
Oh, I thought we knew that already.
No.
Did it change again? I thought it was November 17th?
15th. Confirmed. Sunday.
Oh, 15th? Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. They always do Sundays. I'm pretty sure we knew that.
We did not know that.
Then why was I always planning on getting that game around the 17th?
Someone backed me up here that release date was just announced.
There was a media blitz. Like, suddenly, like, a couple of videos and, like, more articles about it, but I don't know about the date itself coming out.
Yeah, they put out, like, some high-res screenshots. Or not They're, screenshots, but, like,
the
art assets.
It's red.
I know,
I'm
the box is
you.
Red.
Like, Sword Guy.
I knew this, so...
Sword Guy.
I was talking about it with my friends today,
you guessed
actually.
That a big Nintendo game was coming out November 17th. Good job.
15th.
Shut up, you. He said 17th.
But he was wrong.
Okay, now all I'm right.
We're done. Move on.
If you guys don't want to know that 3D Dot Game Heroes is coming to America?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of figured it would. I didn't think that was that big a deal. Like, why wouldn't it?
Because it's
see, look at the way he shoots down our news stories.
It's kind of
a because it's for the PlayStation. He's in like the PlayStation.
No, I'm actually very excited for that game. I don't know, but
question because I mean, look at it. It looks like Voxel's niche Zelda clone thing.
It looks. It actually looks like actually filmed stop motion animation.
Yeah,
I am actually very excited for that game.
All that we know is that it's coming to America. Sony, on their official Twitter, said, you know, don't need to import. It's coming. So we can't announce anything else after that. You know, we'll find out later from the official publisher, I guess.
I'm guessing it's because, you know, they had so much importing with Demon's Souls.
Yep.
All right, you ready for the
quiz? I tell you. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. This is another past quiz. I want to see if you can do better this time.
Yeah, I bet you do.
That's right. I do. So, I think last time... You got two of these, yeah. Yeah, okay, here we go. Number one, how many expansions have there been for EverQuest?
12.
Does anyone want to help him?
I think it was in the teens, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I want to say it was like 15.
Okay, 15.
It was 15. Pretty good.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
Nice.
Pretty impressive. Question two, name the four, not you, AJ. Sword yet. Name the four unlockable characters in Super Smash Bros.
The original?
Yeah.
Jigglypuff.
You didn't get this last time, I remember
Luigi.
Now.
Luigi.
What's that?
One?
Luigi.
Was Luigi? Yeah, Luigi.
Two.
Ganon?
No.
No?
Ganon
okay.
was only in Melee.
Okay.
That's why you didn't get this last time.
Was it Captain Falcon? Was he unlockable?
Yes.
S3?
Okay, that's three, and...
I want to say...
Mewtwo. No, he was Melee. He was Melee.
Ness, I think.
Nessu. Yeah, we'll go with that. Ness.
Yeah. Yeah, you got that one. Once again, not from your own doing.
I got some of them.
But let AJ try to give a shot at this first. We'll see if he can get it.
All right.
In Final Fantasy VIII, mercenary students are trained in facilities called what?
Isn't it like schools or something?
Schools. They're trained in schools.
I don't know. All right. Gardens, think, actually. Gardens?
See,
okay, gardens. I knew that.
Question four. AJ, you got a perfect score.
I won't interfere this time.
Yeah.
No, you're allowed to. Question four. Pokemon Red and Blue took place in the Kanto region. What region does Pokemon Gold and Silver take place?
It starts with a J.
That's correct.
Johto or no?
Johto.
Johto. Okay. That's what I said. Johto. I just pronounced it wrong.
I said Johto. No, he's like Joe. You're like, but what does it end with?
Okay, Johto, asshole.
God, this is you're perfect. 4 for 4, Edge guy. All right. Name at least 6 platforms on which Rayman 2 was released on. There were 7.
You're okay. On your own for this one.
I think I got this. PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, Dreamcast.
If you say when it wasn't on, you automatically lose.
Yeah, N64. Okay, that's why I'm slowing down. Yeah, it was on N64. DS.
Yes.
And. Did it come out on PC?
Yes.
Okay, PC.
Yes, it also came out for the...
It, actually.
Oh, cool.
That's where I first heard it.
What's the 7th?
Game Boy Color.
I was going to say Game Boy Advance, but I was like, I'm not positive on that.
It wasn't a direct port or anything. It was 2D.
Yeah, it was like its own version.
But it was Rayman 2.
Yeah.
All right, bonus question. Oh, you can get a perfect score, as guy.
I already have a perfect score. This is for a better than perfect score.
Name a character from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater who isn't Tony Hawk.
Bam Margera.
No.
Yeah, huh? Okay,
is
then,
original?
I'm sorry, the original.
You mean the original. Oh, okay, hang on, let me think a little harder then.
Bonus characters included. Bob Burnquist, yep. He was my man.
All right.
Good job.
Dick.
I got a super perfect score.
Yeah, it's just like the episode where us, me, and Sword Guy, we also got a perfect score on there.
Right, exactly.
It's magical.
I think Sword Guy could have gotten a perfect score on this one legitimately alone. Yeah, he even got the EverQuest one. That was hard.
Yeah, I would never have gotten that.
Although I do almost, wonder...
I mistook it for Oblivion.
That's...
Alright, you're disconnected.
Okay.
Anyways. Okay, let's go topical, everybody.
Okay.
AJ, we'll start with you. We'll go to Sword Guy, then Joe. First one. New Super Mario Bros. Wii will outsell Super Mario Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In part because of its more party play mechanic, in part because of its simpler play mechanic, and in part because of the legacy of New Super Mario Bros. DS. This will beat the stuffing out of Super Mario Galaxy, I think.
You have nothing else to say on it?
I could keep BSing, but really, that's pretty much it, so, yeah.
Sword Guy?
What he said. Also, there are more Wiis now. I mean, you don't really think about it, but they still sell millions of those damn things every year.
Aren't there still a lot of people, though, who may abandon their Wiis?
I suppose, but nobody abandons
Mario. Well, yeah, but they'll get it out for a Mario game, like me.
I'll get it out for Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Joey.
I agree with all that. Let's move on.
All right, then. That's good enough. All right, this time, we're starting with Sword Guy. Epic Mickey graphically looks disappointing.
From a technical standpoint, no. From an artistic standpoint, kinda.
Why do you say that?
Once again, it's that whole living up to the concept art thing. Like, when I saw that kind of Hieronymus Bosch-esque thing, except with Disney characters, I don't know if I was sold on the game, but I was much more interested. This, I'm still, interested in. I'll probably, unless something horribly negative comes out, I'll probably buy it. But it doesn't look quite like I had envisioned it.
Joey?
Yeah, I think it does go back to concept art. Like, the first thing anyone ever heard of Epic Mickey was, first thing anyone ever saw of Epic Mickey, more like that, was the post-apocalyptic, he got, a half-cyborg, Goofy or something like that, and, people were like, what the hell is this? Everyone was getting all over it. And then, the recent graphics unveiling, people were kind of thrown off by that, but then you remember, had to remember that that's concept art. Keyword concept, that's about it.
AJ.
I think this is a game that it's going to look a lot better in motion, especially when you hear the emphasis they are putting on the animation system to get, that actual Disney squash and stretch kind of feel to it. That said, just looking at the screenshots, I'm pretty happy with how it looks. I think, Super Mario Galaxy is actually a pretty good-looking game, even without the For a Wii Game moniker. And seeing what it looks like now and knowing they still have a year to go on it, I think they could reach that same level of quality.
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring up. It's still, fairly early. So
yeah,
they're going
and
to
also,
give it
also to that point about the Goofy animatronic, I mean, we know for a fact that the Donald Duck animatronic's in it, so I bet the Goofy one is too. Apparently the origin of these animatronic versions of all Mickey's friends is that Oswald and his jealousy of Mickey's friends made the Mad Doctor create animatronics of them so they could be his friends too.
So they're not like, they didn't kidnap Donald and Goofy?
No, it's just simulations of Donald and Goofy to be Oswald's friends. It's very cool.
I thought they were going to say, the old versions of Donald and Goofy were retired from Walt Disney's style.
That would have been interesting, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then they get, solid Donald Duck and then liquid Donald Duck and they would face off, their clones?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
God, no.
Okay.
Okay. Another Epic Mickey question, because we haven't talked about Epic Mickey enough. Joey, starting with you. Epic Mickey will remain a Wii exclusive.
It's well, has any other Warren Spector titles ever remained exclusive to a single platform?
Well, they usually been very PC based, though.
System Shock. That is true.
Yeah, System Shock, Deus Ex.
Wow, he did that?
No, Deus Ex came out on PS2.
That's right.
How responsible is he for console ports of his PC games?
I think he had a very small hand in the Deus Ex port.
I don't think it was his call, basically.
Oh, but
not that this is his call either.
Probably not.
I wonder if, like, you know, because apparently, like, Disney and Warner Spector are both, you know, and, like, you know, their respective, like, groups of their development houses, whatever, are very much banking on, like, this being a giant revitalizing title for Mickey, you know, and for basically a whole lot of Disney stuff. I don't know if they would be like, okay, and then we'll ship this to another, like, HD, more HD experience studio and have them work on that. I don't know, I think they would pull all the resources into a Wii exclusive and just, like, you know, not even think about porting it later on, unless they had confidence that their vision was going to stay intact.
AJ?
2 points I'll have for this. I don't think you need to port it up, because the reason, like, you do, like, a port of something like, I don't know, like, Little Lego Games or whatever, is because you design it and develop it for the PS3 360, and you release that Wii port to catch the people who don't have a PS3 or 360. I don't think you really need to go the other way, though. There's enough people with Wiis, and if they have a 360 and PS3 or interest in this game, odds are they already have a Wii, so you wouldn't really need to. What I could see happening is if the sequels are developed, and by then the PS3 motion controller and Natal are out, then they might do something designed with those in mind, not trying to port to it, but develop for it.
Now, wait, by that logic, wouldn't a port of Grand Theft Auto, Chinatown Wars to the PSP be unnecessary since so many more people had a DS?
That's different, because Chinatown Wars didn't go towards the key DS demographic, but I think Mickey hits the general Wii demographic pretty well. Mm. This game is being very smartly
designed.
Are
you saying that the Wii is a kiddie system?
No, not at all. I'm actually saying, don't, because in many ways, this game, it's designed A, to appeal to hardcore gamers, because, I mean, it is a pretty solid-looking platforming game in the vein of Super Mario Galaxy. At the same time, it's still Mickey Mouse, who appeals to everybody. So, and, you know, I think the Wii, in more ways than people are willing to admit, does that as well, where it appeals to everybody, but there's still some things in that system to appeal to hardcore gamers. It's just, I feel like it's underutilized. But it still does exist for that potential. And I think this is one of those games that's finally going to prove that point. Not friggin' No More Heroes, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is really the first... Maybe... okay, maybe this is a little unfair, because you have games like Dead Space Extraction and things like that that look pretty good. But I'd say this is the first serious attempt from a major publisher in America to make a Wii exclusive. And not be it something that they make in a year to rush out. I mean, this game's been in development for, I think, 2 or 3 years already. It's still a year away. You know?
Sword Guy.
I've already forgotten what the question was.
Do you think it's going to remain Wii exclusive?
Maybe. It depends on how well it does. I mean, that's the story of every video game ever made. I mean, if it does well enough, then I suspect that they'll probably be happy with what's going on, but you know, if it does crappily, it'll land elsewhere, I'm sure. And even, it just depends so much on the circumstances under which everything happens that it's really hard to predict.
I just think that when they started developing it, they didn't know about, you know, the other company's motion control plans. I think now that Sony has that kind of wand-like controller, which emulates what the Wii can do more than the 360 can, I think it might be mighty tempting now to do a PS3 version.
I mean, this game doesn't even use Wii Motion Plus.
Right.
Okay. Also,
I don't think it needs to. I mean, it's basically a pointer-based game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Disney honestly does how like I prefer the motion control stuff.
Disney so does like their Blu-rays on you know, Blu-ray releases of their animated features. Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, if Epic Mickey does remain Wii exclusive, I am going to get a Wii just for Epic Mickey.
There we go.
Good man.
Okay. AJ, starting with you again. It's too early to change the DSi.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't announced a firm date for this yet in America, but presumably early 2010. The DSi came out in May. I think 6 to 7 months is far too soon to release new hardware. They're getting to this point now, I think.
Until that's Sony.
But at least Sony... Until, I guess, the PSP Go, but generally when a new PSP came out, it replaced the old one, and the PSP Go and the PSP 3000 are pretty fundamentally different from each other. But you're going to have on the shelves, trying to coexist with each other, DS Lite, DSi, and DSi XL. And I think there's also going to be some confusion in two areas. First of all, like, I think people don't understand, like, I'm trying to word this right. Like, why wouldn't I get the DSi XL? And then some people are going to be wondering, why do I want the bigger one? Why is that more expensive? It seems like the smaller, more portable one should be the better thing. That's going to be confusing in one regard. Another thing I think is going to be confusing is the fact that there is no way to transfer your DSiWare games. And there's going to be people who I suspect will want to upgrade to one of these or even get it as a second one and are going to be very upset when they find out that these DSiWare games they've bought can't be copied over in any way. Plus, I think it's just a dumb idea. I don't see the point of this at all.
Okay, Sword Guy.
Honestly, I don't really mind if it's not really replacing it. It doesn't... I mean, it hasn't really hurt Apple at all to have, like, 5 billion types of iPods out there. And I don't think it'll make too much of a difference here. As long as it still plays DS games, it should be fine.
Joey?
I agree with what Sword Guy said.
Although, right, the second they start making exclusive games to that thing, it can go get fucked.
To DSi? I'd imagine not.
They'll make DSi, right? Games, but they won't make DSi XL games.
Yeah. Well, DSi XL is just a bigger screen. It's not like a different tech inside compared to DSi.
Right.
Now that it's bigger, can they fit the Game Boy Advance port back in?
Oh, yeah, right? That was something that people were like, well, it's bigger now. They could put it back in, right? Nope. No Game Boy Advance card.
Dang it. How will I play Final Fantasy VI? Okay. Sword Guy, we're going to start with you again. This recent start of sluggish Wii sales is the sign of a new trend.
Well, I mean, at some point, everybody has a Wii. But, you know, I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, everything slows down after a while. But I think that recent price cut's probably going to put it back up on top for a good while. Whether that's a lasting trend, I'm not entirely sure, but I mean, it's been dominating the entire industry for the last 3 years. I think it shouldn't be too big of a problem.
AJ?
Is it Joey's turn?
No, it's your turn.
Oh, mm-hmm. I got confused.
Maybe, like, okay. Maybe, I don't know, you go.
Whatever. Yeah, right.
I know who goes first. I got that down.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, you guys brought the article to my attention. I missed it. Where I kind of felt this, but even Iwata's admitting that their holiday lineup is kind of weak. And, I mean, yeah, I mean, really, what do they have this holiday? Wii Fit Plus and Mario. And Mario is going to be great. But there really isn't any other Wii game. And there are some good third-party ones, like we said, Silent Hill, Dead Space, that Nintendo should be out there promoting.
Like to point
kind
out.
Of fill in the holes in their release schedule, and they're not doing it.
Should
you
be
know?
Pointed out that that's never stopped them before.
What do you mean?
What did they have in 2008?
Yeah, 2008 was terrible. They had
like
what
they started
they
off
have?
Kind of all right, and then in like
Mario
holiday,
Galaxy.
It was, no, that was 2007. In
oh,
holiday,
was
it
really?
Was just like a barren wasteland.
Oh,
they
that's
had
right.
they had Brawl like early 2008.
Yeah, they had Brawl
like,
and No
yeah.
More Heroes in very close proximity, and then that was
they
it.
Had nothing in Holiday.
That's they, right.
Maybe that was when Wii Fit came out. I can't remember.
Really oh yeah. Yeah, no, Wii Fit came out like fall, but not Holiday.
Not so much early 2008. No, early 2008 was fine, but just Holiday 2008 was terrible for the Wii software.
That's true. I was thinking Mario Galaxy came out in 2008. I forgot. Yeah.
I was 2007. I still remember when it happened. I was just like, I can't believe they don't have like a game.
Yeah,
it was baffling. I don't know.
So yeah,
I can remember the 1 year where it was like, where originally like I think Metroid Prime 2, Mario Sunshine, and Zelda Wind Waker were supposed to come out in the same holiday season. Wind Waker eventually got delayed, but still.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then Metroid Prime 2 came out in 2004.
Sandwich between Metal Gear, San Andreas, Halo 2.
Maybe it was Metroid Prime 1 even. No, you know what it was the Star Fox game. Which didn't turn out to be that great, but still, it was a big franchise Nintendo game.
It
right.
looked good and played constantly.
What was that?
Sorry about that.
That was a mad sneeze.
That was, yeah.
Yes.
Are you okay?
Get her to sneeze?
Anyways.
But yeah, what was I saying? Okay, so, well, thinking of that then, maybe in a way, to David's point, yeah, like, pretty much everyone who wants one at this point I feel like is getting them, especially since supply is not an issue anymore. but maybe people are finally kind of saying, like, okay, you know what? Yeah, you're right. You're not, like, releasing new stuff for this. And it's kind of getting, like, the charm is worn off. I mean, how many people do you hear stories of who, like, got a Wii, played Wii Sports a lot, and now it's in a closet collecting dust? I don't know. It's Nintendo's such an anomaly.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
It's so hard
to
predict what the hell's going on with them. I'm sure they'll be fine. Here's the thing. They're going to win for the year, but they're not going to be as good as they were in the past. But they're still going to be on top. I mean, let's face it. We are in a recession.
Oh, that,
you know, that's going to affect it, too.
Wii was new hardware. Now it's okay, just like this three-year-old piece of junk that we've had for a while.
Right. Joe.
Can we just move on to the next question? I don't like talking about sales age, and you guys covered it very well.
All right, then. All right, last question. DJ Hero will be a big hit. Not really a question, but, you know. Agree or disagree? Buy or sell?
In principle, I kind of disagree because Activision's a bunch of assholes.
Wow.
And like, James Milkey, like, you know the James Milkey, like, X1UP dude, he's working at Q Entertainment now. Like, he used to DJ or something like that. And he himself said that, you know, it's alright, but it doesn't exactly capture, like, you know, the effort, like, the element of, like, or, like, you know, the essence of DJing, whatever the heck.
Well, I mean, how much does Guitar Hero capture?
And the thing is freaking expensive, you know, and, you know, people, and it's a very first shot, you know, it's not like a second installment in the DJing franchise, so.
How much is it, $100?
$120.
It's $120?
$200 for the, what is it, what,
the
what's
the table,
name?
The box that turns into a table.
What's it called? The Premier Edition or something? I don't know.
Renegade Edition, right?
That's it, Renegade Edition.
Renegades of Funk. Move on.
Nice. Oh, jeez. Someone messaged me. That's terrible. Can you hear that?
No.
What? Okay, good.
You shouldn't have said anything.
Do you... Don't...
David, I think it's your turn to talk.
Oh, wait. No, it's going to suck.
It's chaos.
$120, too much.
How much was original Guitar Hero?
What now?
How much was the original Guitar Hero?
I want to say it was 80? Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not exactly what we would have expected to jump off the shelves, but beats the hell out of this thing.
Yeah, like, are you done?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Go. Mike is clearly IMing someone and not proctoring his exam anymore.
I'm glad we have your focus, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, wait one second. Give me a second. Yeah,
turn off aim.
And also, the music selection for DJ Hero.
Okay, well,
wait. We can't keep talking about it.
Why not? You're not talking anyway. It's my turn.
Oh.
I'm going to go.
You're not going to edit this out? You're just going to keep this awkwardness in?
Well, if you wouldn't have just said anything, it would have been fine. You know what? Pay your dues. Anyway, I mean, I gave my impressions on the game last week. I think the game's pretty good. I think the fundamental problems with the game is that controller feels cheap as hell, which doesn't help the fact that, again, it is a $120 package. And
does it have a demo in a lot of GameStops?
Best Buys seem to have all the demos.
Yeah, because, well, I saw a demo in my GameStop, and so I think, you know, it could...
Like I said, that slider feels imprecise. The turntable is a combination being too small and too loose. It has no resistance to it. It just feels cheap.
Yeah.
And
that demo
then
will,
you couple...
I don't know if it'll make or break it, but I think it could be a severe factor in its sales.
Yeah, and I mean, for as hard as they're pushing Guitar Hero 5 and Band Hero... people aren't gonna buy it. It's like almost like an MMO thing. Like you're gonna pick your genre of music game. I feel like, and if you're investing so much in Guitar Hero, you're not gonna get DJ Hero because you already spent $100 on that. And again,
I think it's a little silly to think that all these people that bought so many Guitar Heroes aren't gonna, for some reason, won't buy DJ Hero.
Well, it's a different subculture too, ain't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's very different music. And like I said, the music's good, too. I really like that Gorillaz and Marvin Gaye mix that's in the game. But it's just...
All right, you know, I want to come to the defense of the game a little bit. I think I got to play the demo. I think the game is pretty cool, actually. I'm glad it's different.
That's neat.
I think you're complaining about some of the things, like, basically, you're saying that it's hard and you don't get the hang of it yet. Well, no.
No, I get it. I get it. I know exactly what I'm doing in that game.
Well,
I just can't
get it
to do what I want.
You But, I mean, Guitar Hero is the same way. No one was great at it. I think a lot of us, we had to accept the fact that we had to start that game on easy.
But no, Mike, I mean, do you disagree with my point that that slider is calibrated incorrectly?
No. I think if you play that game for a few hours, you will get the hang of it, and that wouldn't be a problem anymore. And you will know where that center is.
Know your center.
You don't think that the fact that the table has no resistance on it isn't a problem?
I think it has plenty of resistance.
No, it doesn't. I think
pointing down the blue key was a little hard. But again, it seemed hard. I'm not going to judge how hard or easy a game is they're playing the demo.
Did I like it?
The first time you played Guitar Hero, wasn't it hard to hold down the far right button and the far left one? You just get a feel for it.
Actually, it wasn't, but...
Yes, it was. Oh, bullshit, it wasn't.
I don't know, whatever.
I played bass in high school, so...
I did play bass.
Oh, my God.
I just feel like right now, people aren't ready to accept something that's a risk for $120.
Why not? They bought Rock Band.
They bought cat helmets.
Rock Band, but see, Rock Band, you kind of knew you were getting into. This is too foreign, I think.
I don't know. I kind of like that this seems more like an actual music game again, and
see,
not
I,
a music
I knew
simulator.
You'd like it for that. Yeah. I feel like if it was a little cheaper and the controller felt a little better, I personally would be more behind it. But given the price and the quality of the controller as I perceive it, I don't see it being worth that amount of money.
I don't know. I think I'm on board on this one. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Incidentally, any of you guys ever play Beatmania?
Yeah.
Really? Like where arcades?
Some arcade somewhere.
Arcade?
Yeah. Like a Game Works or something.
Best Buy actually had a demo of it at one point. Really? I remember it had a remix of the Metal Gear Solid theme, which was interesting. Beatmania. That's like the first music game, right?
Yeah.
That's where the Beatmania came from. Yeah.
Well, it's like
first kind of note highway
the
thing.
Here was the first of those guitar games.
Mm. Right.
We imported a copy of Guitar Freaks with two controllers.
All right.
Such vitriol over time. DJ Hero.
Time for our week in gaming. Time to move
all
on.
Right.
All right.
Actually, to write down everything I've played.
Did you write down, you said?
I did, yeah. I have a list.
Shoot me. That's never a good sign. Why don't you go first?
Okay.
If you
first
play
all,
something I played, I'll just jump in.
Okay. First of all, I beat Brutal Legend on Monday.
I'm still terrified to start that game.
Play it. It's so good.
Well, now I just bought
so
three new games.
Good. Well, that's why I told you to play it last week, you idiot.
I played Uncharted last week. Technically, yeah. I beat Uncharted in one day, but...
But, Brutal Legend is awesome. Okay, listen, everyone. Yes, it turns into an RTS. The good news is it's a very good and very easy-to-play RTS. This is like the RTS for people who conceptually like RTSs but suck at them.
What if I conceptually don't like RTSs?
Do you at least like a cool action game where you can order some units around?
That sounds like
RTS! With a really good story?
Well, wait. Would you compare it to, like, Pikmin or Overlord, kind of?
Yeah.
Okay, did you like Pikmin, Mike?
You
loved Pikmin, damn it.
I think I played about 30 minutes of Pikmin and never played it again.
Well, you should have played Pikmin 2.
I never got Pikmin 2.
Because Pikmin 2 is brilliant.
Pikmin 2 has multiplayer.
Tim Schafer asked you to trust him and join him on
the
rock
journey.
I have
the game, so...
I know.
I supported him already.
Play it, all right?
Okay, I gave him my money. I just don't know if I want to actually play it.
Play it. Trust me. It's good. And again, I will say, this story in this game is phenomenal. I mean, it actually... The reason it works, and the reason all of Tim Schafer's games work, it takes itself very seriously. And it works. It just really works. I mean, my total playtime for the campaign, I think, was something like 6 hours. But that's my own fault, because I rushed through it, because I wanted to see what was happening next in the story. I skipped out on a ton of side missions I could have done. I just want to see what was happening. I mean, it was really good. So, there's that. Next up was the trifecta, thanks to Best Buy's Buy 2, Get a 30-game free sale this week. First, Borderlands. I played a bit on Tuesday.
I ended up getting the same exact three games you did on
the
sale.
Yeah, so we can double-team this. Borderlands is sweet. I really like it. It's basically what I thought it would be. It's a faster-paced, cartoony-looking Fallout 3. that has multiplayer that I haven't even gotten to try yet.
And it's skewed much more toward first-person shooter.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's much more satisfying on a shooter level, on a mechanical shooter level, as opposed to Fallout 3, which is much more of an RPG.
What character class did you two go for?
I haven't started yet.
I was taking around yet? With my friend's class, so I was playing as a sniper.
I'm playing as the Siren, who's kind of like the game's equivalent of a rogue, I guess. Or like
Chris is playing sniper, too.
Okay. Yeah, Mike, you should play the guy with the turrets.
Is he the big, burly guy?
No, that's like the kind of the tank sort of dude who does like melee combat.
Okay.
There's a guy who like can lay down turrets and stuff.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but I really like the big action ability that the Siren has is she can turn invisible. When she turns invisible, this like kind of blast comes out, and then she can move faster. And then when you can either wait for the time run out or do a melee attack, and when you come out, there's another blast. And then the skill path I'm going down does things that my melee from when I'm in my invisibility mode does, like, it'll daze enemies, and the blast will daze enemies, and I can do all this cool stuff. And, like, you know, you find, like, cool situations where you can use it. Like, there's these weird flying things that kind of look like Minox. At first, they're just kind of, like, harmlessly flying around, and then, like, six of them kind of joined up, and then all decided to just, like, dive bomb me. So I'm shooting at them as they're coming down, and then once they all kind of swarm me, I just did that burst and, like, killed them all in one hit. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. So, and the game is really good looking.
Yeah.
Like, it looks really good.
So good.
I love the art style. That was such a smart move on Gearbox's part.
Yeah, I also appreciate it. It's one thing that's bothered me about this generation is that there just haven't been enough stylized games. And I don't mean, like, color palette stylized. I mean, like, wacky tune shading kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And again, too, like, not since probably Diablo 2 has a game got me with, like, the loot whoring aspect of it.
I mean, this game is basically... That's why I'm into Warcraft now all of a sudden.
Yeah, see, this game is basically what I thought and wanted Hellgate London to be. You know?
I thought Hellgate London was one of the biggest gaming busts of the decade.
Yeah, this is like what I thought that game was gonna be, and it's sweet.
Broke my heart.
Yeah, it really did for me too.
Bill Roper was crying somewhere.
And the thing is too, the demo was so good. That's why I like rushed out and bought it, and I was like, oh, that was like the only good part of the game.
I just wanted to like, give Bill Roper a hug because he seemed. Yeah, every time you listen to him, he's, like, such a smart guy. He was so sincere. You could tell he really believed in this, and it was just... pain.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Borderlands is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. Everyone should
get it. I definitely want to try it out. Well, now, if we do co-op, is there going to be, like, a big level disparity between us, and it won't really work out?
Well, no, the game scales to kind of average out to everybody who's playing, I guess. I haven't done it yet. This is just my theoretical understanding.
We still need to do some of the Uncharted 2 co-op stuff together.
Yeah, we haven't even done that yet.
There's co-op missions? Like, specific co-op? Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently co-op's a big part of the game.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Borderlands, sweet. Next game up is Forza 3, which I freaking love.
I was surprised how noob-friendly that game is.
It really is. But
that rewind feature...
is awesome. That's what makes the game so play. Like, I'm actually playing on hard difficulty, and I can play, like, which is great because usually I suck at simulation racers. I like them. I'm just bad at them, but like I can play this one on hard very well. And the game's gorgeous. And again, the community features in this game are awesome. Pete put together a really great Squadron of Shame vinyl that you could apply to your cars. I got a bunch of stuff from Ryan O'Donnell of Area 5 and Co-op. So I have, like, the Squadron Shame car and the Co-op Area 5 car right now. Like I said, one great thing that this game does that Forza 2 didn't... In Forza 2, all your designs were locked to that specific model of car. This game lets you just create the vinyl by itself. So you get just a grid where you can create the vinyl that can then be placed onto any car. And you can auction those off. So that's really great that you have that ability now. And it makes it... like, just the possibilities of what kind of stuff you can make and buy in the in-game auctions just that much greater. Game's gorgeous. It plays incredible. Like, it's amazing how they use a combination of the visuals, the sound design, and the controller rumble to perfectly communicate what kind of terrain your car is on at any given time. You will know the instant you start to go off-road and what kind of off-road you're on. If you're on... like rumble strip on the road, if you're on grass, if you're on just like those little side bordery things, I don't know what you call them. Like, you can tell intuitively. You're using your mirrors, your rearview mirrors, your side mirrors, like, just like you actually would. I mean, it's just really, really good. And you have to play this game in the cockpit view. It's incredible. I mean, this game is just amazing. I love it. So I gushed about that long enough. Pete's happy somewhere. Ratchet and Clank, Future and Crack in Time. This game is
well, first, I want to say one thing.
God.
Last week, when I specifically said, what other games the rest of this year are you looking forward to? You said a bunch of games. I said, well, what about Ratchet and Clank? I thought it looked really good. Like, yeah, well, I don't like Ratchet and Clank that much, whatever. Then, like, 2 days later, you bought it. Before I did.
Here's what happened. First, they released the Clank demo on PSN, which lets you play through the first part in the Great Clock. It's awesome. Clank has this great gameplay mechanic on his own where you throw these time bombs, which create this kind of like temporal sphere where everything within them is slowed down. It's a simple-sounding thing, but it's actually a really fun mechanic, along with these kind of time pads, I guess you use, where you can create multiple selves to solve puzzles. It's like playing co-op with yourself. It's really, really good. So I played that demo. Then I was at Best Buy on Saturday, and they had the Ratchet demo. And, I mean, that's played very much like classic Ratchet and Clank always has. But one thing that's new to this game is Ratchet gets these kind of, like, hover shoes. Not unlike Shadow the Hedgehog, I guess. But they made moving through the world really fun. And some of the new weapons are really cool. I like the Sonic Emitter, I think it is. It's like this, like, giant alien that belches a mating call. And you fight this, like, mecha tank thing in the demo. And it was just really good. So after playing that demo, I was like, okay, fine, I'll get this. It's pretty sweet. What I love about this game, and especially in relation to Uncharted 2, is I feel like in the PS2 generation, Naughty Dog and Insomniac in a lot of ways were directly competing with each other. Now I feel like they're very nicely complementing each other, where they are making very high-quality, PlayStation-exclusive platforming games with shooting mechanics. But, like, Naughty Dog's now focusing on the real, and Insomniac is, like, in that kind of Pixar realm. Their animation quality is astounding. The cutscenes are great. The voice acting's great. Dr. Nefarious is a hilarious villain. I love that guy. And this game is just awesome. I really like it.
Yeah, I think it plays really well. Do you like the Ratchet stuff or the Clank stuff better?
I honestly don't know. I mean, the thing is, they're both similar yet different enough so that as you're switching back and forth, it keeps things really fresh, you know?
Right. I will say that I think the Ratchet stuff is really great, but I really like the Clank stuff. I wish maybe there's a little bit more of it.
Right.
There definitely is more Ratchet stuff.
Yeah.
It's definitely much more like Ratchet.
The only thing about this series I don't like, and this is something I've never liked about the whole series, is its obsession with collecting the screws, only because it's basically like there's just crates everywhere that you have to smash open. But I feel like they're placed in a way that it kind of breaks the flow of the game. Like, you're running out of your way to get these things, but they're not hard to get to. They're just out of your way.
Oh, there's that range power-up that you can get, and you can just slam the ground, and every crate within, like, a fair amount of distance will break.
Okay, I need to get that, mm-hmm. then.
They've had that in every one since the first one, except the first one, they had it hidden away.
Okay.
It's a pain in the ass.
Well, then I have to get that. But yeah, so that game's awesome.
Hey, Ash Guy.
Yes.
Does Ratchet still jump and then not do a double jump? Does he still just, like, spin in the air?
No, he does, like, an actual double jump.
It's pretty much like that. It's not a big double jump.
Oh, because he has hover boots now, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
since
okay.
Clank's not with him.
No. It's still more like
a little bit more.
I think it's still more like what Joey's thinking and not like what AJ's describing.
Really? I thought it was just a double jump.
Yeah, but
doesn't
his description of it sound an awful lot like the animation he does with that kind of weird flip? It doesn't go that much higher, I'll say. I don't have any platforming issues, though. So.
Right,
speaking
it's fine.
Of which, what's the balance in this? Is it, like, more toward platforming or more toward shooting? Because a lot of the recent ones have been very shooting-heavy, except for the first PS3 one, which was...
I want to say 60-40 shooting to puzzle. I mean, mm-hmm. shooting to platforming.
Well, not so much shooting, but combat, I would say.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
I like that whole, there's these kind of planetoids you have to go to.
I haven't gotten that far yet. I only played a couple hours last night.
Apparently that's called from Mario Galaxy and the
No, Ratchet
as well.
Ratchet Clank did it first, and actually Mario Galaxy copied that, but like Miyamoto didn't even know about it.
You didn't leave the first planet yet?
I just finished the ship.
What ship?
The enemy ship thing.
You are not very far.
No, I mean, I just started last night. I got home from work last night like 11 o'clock and played it for an hour and a half.
Right. I want to say then that, you know, shortly after that, you can kind of fly around places, and there's these little spheres, and you just land directly on them. You can kind of walk around them. It's not like Mario Galaxy. They're spherical, but you're not... There's no crazy gravity mechanics or anything. But it's kind of like, you know, it's like these little self-contained... It's kind of like... In Mario Sunshine, how there were those areas where they kind of ignored the logistics of level design and just did straight up level design to make things interesting.
Like the parts where you didn't have the flow.
It's kind of like that. Not so much like it's flood, like not quite as crazy, but it's just more like, look, this doesn't have a theme or anything, or maybe the theme is just this is fire or ice. It's much more here's some floating platforms. Who knows why they're here? But do the little thing and you'll get a Zony at the end.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's neat.
Okay. Then I have three quick hits here at the end. First of all is Dragon Age Journeys, which is the kind of flash-based, turn-based hex RPG they made.
I've heard about
it. Which is actually, it's very good. I mean, this is a game that 5 years ago you would have paid $40 to $60 for happily. It's really well done, and the gameplay's pretty good in it. And the cool thing is, too, I guess, is you unlock achievements in this. You can actually unlock items for your characters in Dragon Age proper.
Cool.
So I've been kind of dabbling with that. That's really good. Two quick iPhone games. Mike, you actually should check out this first one, cause since you say you like old school music games so much, is Tap Tap Revenge 3.
Well, I play Tap Tap Revenge. Tap Tap Revenge is never terribly responsive, though.
This one's really good. Like, it's dead on. I was playing Fuel by Metallica, and some of the rhythms... Like, well, this one actually had four lanes in it instead of three.
Ooh.
And some of them were pretty complicated, but I never felt like I was missing those because the game wasn't responding to me. I also got some DLC for it. I got a Killer's Pack and a... what was the other one?
Okay, what's in the Killer's Pack?
When You Were Young... And nothing else I really knew, but I'm gonna try them because it only came in like a pack of six songs.
What was the other pack I got?
When You Were Young. I don't know the other ones.
Was it somebody told me?
Maybe.
Well,
I think. What's the one? Is that the one? No.
Somebody told me that you.
Mr. Brightside. Mr. Brightside is in it.
Okay.
Yeah, that one. It's really good, though. It's like 99 cents. It comes with a bunch of free tracks you could download, and then there's, like, the store. If you have Tap Tap Lady Gaga or Tap Tap Coldplay, you can import those songs, and they're working on getting the import feature working for all the other games. Like, I have the Dave Matthews one and the Weezer Christmas one. That's, I guess they just need to work out the licensing or whatever. But it's really good. Everyone should check that out if you have an iPhone. Also, there's this game that, I guess it's a Flash game, so you can play it for free on a computer, but there's also the iPhone version. It's called Cannibalt. Basically, it's a game where some nondescript alien attack or something is going on in the city, and you're this just guy running across rooftops, and all you do is just tap the screen to jump. And it's, you know, like, the longer you hold, the slightly higher you jump, and you just have to run as far as you can before you die. It's got really great music to it. It looks really good. It's kind of like simple... like kind of flash-like animation, but like with really cool parallax scrolling, and it's actually really awesome. So
why
you should check out at least
because that just made me think cannibal.
It sounds to me like cannonball. Maybe. I think they were maybe going for, but like also bolt, like you're bolting. I don't know, cannibalt. But you know, try the Flash game at least. It's really fun and addicting. So that's it. I think I'm done.
Okay. Well. Kind of played Ratchet, which I already talked about. Still play Warcraft, which is sad.
That's very sad. Shame on you.
I know. What's happened to me? I play a lot now, too. It's getting bad.
Look at yourself in the mirror and ask, what have I become?
It's funny, because my basement is literally surrounded by mirrors. Like, I have no choice but to look at myself.
You can't escape it.
Yeah, this is like some bizarre symbolic shot from a really high-class art movie.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, so, I tried Forza, I also liked it, that's it, yeah, I'm dragging things down here to a grinding halt. Someone else go.
Joey.
David, go.
Alrighty.
Mike. Joey, go.
I got three things and then two quick hits. The first one, I tried the Clank demo, because today I finally hooked up my PS3 again. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna hook this up again, because I also had to send my PSP to Sony, so I had to deactivate it, and I had to do that to the PS3. And I played the Clank demo, and I was like, oh yeah, this is very nicely animated, very nice graphics, but I'm still not very sold on Insomniac platformers.
Well, the Ratchet.
You didn't like that whole demo, that whole that copying time mechanic. Yeah, I really liked that. I don't know.
It felt a bit clunky for me.
Well, the Ratchet demo just came out.
I guess I'm just not. I guess I'm also just not really used to Insomniac, how they do their platformer stuff in general.
Okay.
Like, you know, all the platformers from PS2 ever were all like Jack and Jack 2. And it felt a bit more intuitive. I don't know.
Jack and Jack 2 are. Wait, oh, wait, never mind. I misunderstood what you're saying.
He's not saying they were made by Insomniac.
Right,
Insomniac.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just describe more to the school of Naughty Dog than Insomniac. I guess it's just me. And what'd you call it? I also did the Best Buy buy two games get one free thing, but I chose more budget games because, you know, I didn't want to spend so much money this year. So I got Alone in the Dark, The Darkness, and Dead Space. And it turns out Dead Space is the one that's free, so they're sending it separate. So today I got Alone in the Dark and The Darkness, and I played.
Oh, you did it online?
Yeah. And okay. I played they were exclusive. They only get them online, so I was like, oh, okay. And I played a bit of The Darkness. I played the beginning, and I really like it.
It's good. Chris got that, right, Mike? Is that why I played it? I know I played it somehow. I think
now?
He did. I think Darkness? Chris got The Darkness, yeah.
Yeah, Chris did like The Darkness. He actually beat it, so...
Oh, okay.
He since traded it in, though.
Right.
Well, you know, it does look like a 2007 game. I like how the protagonist's mouth doesn't really move when he's talking, so it's kind of funny to notice that.
Yeah,
did you
yeah.
like first-person cuddling while you watched that movie?
First-person what?
Cuddling. Like where you're sitting with your girlfriend on the couch while you watch that movie.
Oh, I haven't done that yet.
Oh,
I've
no,
still
sorry,
just like stepped
spoilers.
Out of the subway. Okay. I heard of that before. You know, like you know, watching
yeah.
the.
Yeah.
They have a man
just
with the golden.
Make sure you stick around.
They have the man with the golden arm on you know just to watch on the TV. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. They have the.
Wow.
They have entire movies in that game.
That is awesome.
Which is cool.
Yeah,
bit weird.
And I think I'm what do you call it? I like the Darkness's voice and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know the Mike Patton, right, from Faith No More.
Yeah, I think it is.
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I do think that you know it's not gonna be as bad as Too Human, but like the game over sequence where the guy keeps talking to your ear while you get three pictures flashing by is gonna get a bit annoying. Thank goodness they give you a skip button though. And I do predict I'm gonna die a lot because it's like the FPS. And you know, after that, I played a bit of Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne.
Do tell.
Yeah,
I know David's like, oh.
No, I mean, I thought we were going to get through this whole thing without mentioning. Shin
Oh, are you
he
kidding?
Knows,
yeah.
I mentioned
well,
it on
I feel
kind of
guilty.
Why?
Just because I have not been on a show yet and not mentioned that those words.
Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne.
Considering all the self-indulgent epic Mickey talk me and AJ did.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh well,
I could use a nap. Oh,
quiet you.
Anyways, yeah, I'm up to the area in Kabukicho. I don't want to spoil it for the guys, the other guys in the squadron who haven't started yet. No, but yeah, I'm halfway
Wait,
through that.
Just yeah, give me some vague reminder. What happens in Kabukicho?
Mannequins. The Mizuchi.
Mizuchi. Oh yeah. Oh okay. Yeah.
I have no idea what the hell you guys just said.
Well, that's because to you it sounds like some sort of Lewis Carroll nonsense poem.
It also sounds like just Japanese words.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Ghostly and, Jabberwock, Joe. Nothing.
Sorry.
Lewis Carroll.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because, what you call it, the last time I put down Nocturne before I like you know picked it up again during high school and like just blazed a trail through to the ending was at Kabukicho.
Yeah.
Was at the area of Kabukicho. And, you know, this time I was like, I'm not going to let that happen again. I don't want to just, like, you know, chop that off. So I also remembered that it wasn't, the dungeon there wasn't as terrible as I thought it would be. Like, I mean, not terrible, but, like, you know, just, like, hard and frustrating
yeah.
to get through.
Well, that's always,
it's
like,
a pretty
the
simple.
Point is, like, a complex dungeon. And that's, like,
yeah,
the first one that they actually try doing some weird stuff, like, alternate dimension stuff.
Yeah, and, yeah, but it's a fine dungeon. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I like
and
most of
the last time
I
talked
game,
about.
Except for the final
the last
dungeon.
Time I,
which
the
is,
final? Which final? Tarkakusuchi?
666.
Oh, spoilers.
Yeah, 666 for dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
I know that there's talking, I just don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know that there's a 666 floor dungeon with teleportation puzzles that will drive you mad.
It will drop you a couple floors down, yeah.
Yeah.
People wonder why I don't play these games.
Well, for the most...
Yeah,
well, okay, I'm exaggerating.
For what it's worth, it's a bit more Western
you use,
in
yeah,
such
it is
design
very Western,
than...
but you use elevators a lot in that dungeon.
I like how, what you call it, if the floors are, you know, if there's loads of floors in the tower, like, it will just, you know, it'll, if you try and let it stay there, just let it sit there to see it go realistically, by floor by floor, eventually it'll just start speeding up, so you're like, way to cheat.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But you skip there, like hundreds, or you skip 100 floors at a time sometimes, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What else you got?
And then the last two bits are, what you call it? I had gotten Final Fantasy V recently on Game Boy Advance. I love the job system.
I like Final
I love the job system. Oh, God. Love it.
You haven't
also love
Final
that
Fantasy
the stories...
Wait, sorry. Huh? I was talking to HA. You haven't played Final
no,
Fantasy
No, I actually five, haven't. I will someday.
You should.
I'm waiting to see if they do like a DS 3D remake
don't
of it.
Don't bother.
No,
just stay with the
DS
GBA
3D
one.
Remakes.
Because Final Fantasy V was remake. Still back when they were having fun with this whole damn thing.
Yeah. I love Bartz. He's an awesome protagonist. And, yeah. You know, the story's very lighthearted. Also, he's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna follow you to the what you call it, the her destination, like, you know, because the wind's telling me I want to go with you, and the old guy's like, you just want to get in her pants. He's like, oh, I thought you were sleeping.
So
like,
good.
Hey man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then
I will say I'm glad they at least improved the translation from the PlayStation version, because that was
butts.
Yeah,
that's
right. In jokes.
I get it. Anyway,
you get it. You get it. Good music too.
Yeah.
I like that on
well,
Edge.
I like FF4's a bit more.
No, I like. I'm always so down on FF4. I don't know why. I don't know what I
well,
have against
FF4. Well, it's because it's a Final Fantasy III. It's a Final Fantasy III fan fiction.
Oh, by the way, Tokoto, did you know?
Did I know what?
Bartz's voice actor is one of the voiceover guys for the McDonald's commercials.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the breakfast selection commercials.
Oh my god!
So if like, obviously, if I'm like, Bartz is probably in like a sausage melt of an egg right now. And the last thing is, I fiddled with the Siren Bloodcursed main menu before I decided I was too chicken shit to play before Halloween, and I decided to download the rest of the chapters. Yeah. I got
the title screen
all 12
scared
chapters.
You away.
Hmm?
The title screen
just
scared
like the,
you away.
The random chanting in the background while I was fiddling with the options. Like, okay, I'm done.
I'm just going to go through my Halloween ritual playing through Silent Hill 2 again.
Mm. Yeah, I download all the chapters. I'm going to start that off like this Saturday.
Oh, this reminds me for some reason. Hey, did you see that they released a screenshot for the next episode of Tales of Monkey Island that had Stan in it?
No.
Yeah.
I was trying to avoid it because I haven't beaten the third one yet.
Yeah, well, there you go. So. Anyways, now that I've ruined that for a hedge guy.
Take that.
Thanks.
That's not even a spoiler. Oh,
yeah, whatever. I'm not sure about that.
Take that! Oh!
Okay.
Oh, I can't move!
Thank you, Captain America.
Thank you. Yes! Yes! Totally.
Good work, soldier.
Oh, it's my Sunday set! Oh, proton cannon! Every superhero needs to talk like how they do in Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Oh, God. Oh! Imagine the Captain America movie that's, I'm sure, is in production.
They better talk like that. He better be like, oh, Hitler, oh! It's my Sunday set! Final Justice! Shield Dash! Shield Dash! Final Justice! Shield dash! Shield throw!
The only reason why we're always having laughter is because it's the middle of the night.
Imagine this conversation out of context.
Yeah.
Shield dash is what she said.
Shield dash? That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Alright. Alright. Yeah. What's happening? What's going
David,
on?
David, what'd you play?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'll limit myself to 4 games. So recently I've been a bit of a 2D whore, and so my Wii's gotten a lot of use, and see, now you get that's what she said.
There you go. Yeah.
We will not move on from this. You said whore, and then the next sentence said that your Wii's getting, you said that you were being a whore,
well, I am
and that your Wii was getting a lot of use.
A man whore. Anyway.
Okay.
God. Moving on.
So, because we're so mature, we can talk about all these great 2D games. Like, I've been playing Muramasa, which I dropped as soon as Persona came out.
Ooh, I still want to get that.
But yeah, it's really, really good. Like, it's basically a much, much faster, more fluid Odin Sphere. Like, they cut out all of the superfluous stuff, like the sheep trees and...
You don't have to level up your stats by eating out anymore?
Well, you...
At diners?
You can, but it's much less of an essential thing. You can still eat, like, a shrimp.
Right.
Yeah, rice bowl, but it's not... You never actually need to enter that building to raise your stats.
Right. Yeah, because I liked Odin Sphere a lot, but it was a bit much, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And a bunch of those extra little things that you did, like the ring menus and blah, 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 would just slow the game down. Like, it would break the pace when you're running through these circles. But, yeah, it's a lot more straightforward and, I think, much, much better for it.
That's on my Christmas list.
Mm-hmm. Although...
I gotta write my letter to Santa. Shit.
The one thing is, I really wish they had bothered making a dub for it. Because it's all in English.
Oh, it's just in Japanese.
Yeah, it's all in Japanese, but the English is subtitled and decently translated, but not particularly spectacular.
See, I thought... But, that's weird, because...
I just...
Odin Sphere actually had a pretty good dub.
I thought that was Atlas, and this is Ignition.
Yeah.
I wish Atlas had gotten it again, because they're usually... I mean, like, nothing against Ignition outside of, like, some of their early work, which is always going to be a bit rough, but...
They're pre-Shane Bettenhausen times.
No. Yeah, speaking of Shane, the last Left Retronauts, he was there was like an old interview between Jeremy and Shane from PAX. You know, they talk about Muramasa.
Yeah, and also
interesting stuff there.
They just released a podcast called Active Time Babble, which I think is a great pun.
And it's a great show too. So far, first and second episode that I listened to.
Yeah, I listened to that too, and he was on that, so that was fun. But anyway, so hopefully they'll improve more, but. Right now, it's like being lost in this sea of Japanese words with a few English words at the bottom. And
I thought you liked Shin Megami Tensei games. I thought you'd be all about
Tensei.
That.
Tensei.
It's okay. Quite.
Like Sensei.
Yeah, you're talking about Truth Genius Goddess or something. Anyway.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Don't worry
Tensei
about it.
Tensei means genius. Keihaku means plan.
Don't worry about it. Anyway, the point is...
Wait. Translate Shin Megami Tensei for me again.
The true Tensei. Reincarnation of the goddess.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is, sea of Japanese text, don't care. I wish I could follow the story. I'm doing an okay job, but it would have been much easier if they had just done voice acting, because I get tired of reading subtitles.
Right.
Especially
I'm sure
when the characters aren't moving around.
Right.
You talk about the story. It's not as elaborate as Odin Sphere, right? With five characters.
Yeah, that is one way in which it is kind of a step back in that. I liked that whole intertwining plot thing.
And they tried to go for that, apparently.
I'm still mad that I was never really able to beat Odin Sphere because that apocalypse chapter was so hard.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. And this is a little tough, but I haven't had anywhere near it. Or anywhere near as many stopping points as I did in Odin Sphere.
So what else you play?
Let's see, A Boy and His Blob.
Ooh, how is that?
I love it. It's great. It's... what I really love about it, other than, you know, it's gorgeous, it's got all this great hand-drawn 2D animation, is that it doesn't, like, try and waste your time with anything. Like...
That's good.
Can you imagine trying to put a story in this? You're wandering around through the forest with your little blob, stomping on these little shadow creatures, and that's about it. Well, you're not even stomping on them. You're dropping, like, anvils and rocks and stuff. But, so they don't waste your time with it. A meteor crashes, your boy goes out to look at it, a blob comes out, they hug, and then you go on your merry adventures. There's no chatting. There's no, oh, Blobalonia is in trouble, outside of, like, in the manual. So
it's just like the NES days. The story's all in the manual.
Yeah.
Yep. How much do you love the hug button?
I love the hug button.
It should be a bullet point in the back.
Yeah, seriously.
That was actually a quasi-sarcastic question, but...
The hug button's great. Every game... if you have a useless button, that's what your new button assignment is.
Hug button is the new horn bonus.
Oh, yeah. But so it's a really, really solid puzzle platformer. It's way, way less infuriating than that original NES game, although it's actually really tough. I'm surprised, actually, at just how tough it is.
Huh.
Like, you know, checkpoints are merciful, and you've got a lot of, or you've got infinite lives, so it's not frustrating, but you will die a lot.
Hmm.
But it's a really great puzzle platformer, so I highly recommend buying it.
Cool.
And back to that episode of Retronauts with Shane and them. They also had the WayForward guys, the guys developed Boy and His Blob there, you know, and they also talked about the old game, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. Also, I love all those delicious puns. Tangerine Trampoline, Apple Anvil.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What's one for strawberry?
Shit. I can't remember.
Strawberry.
Strawberry
Marberry.
Okay.
Okay.
AJ, take better improv lessons.
Okay.
Strawberry Marberry.
Anyway.
Everything's a test.
So.
Everything's a test, Edge Guy.
Okay.
Strawberry
Life is a test.
Life is a highway, and I want to ride it all night long.
Oh, God.
Continue.
Oh, that's hilarious, Mike. You
that
quoted
was
a song, but you said it instead of sing it. Yeah, how's it feel?
I bet I got more laughs than you did, I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
We'll let the audience decide. Anyway.
No, we won't. I never want to hear from you, audience. Get go.
Okay. So, I'll just glaze over this a little bit, but Mario and Luigi, whatever the fuck. Bowser's Inside
Story.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
They need to get back to that. Yeah, it really is. I just kind of, it's fallen by the wayside with everything else that's come out.
And one thing that,
Charted 2 distract us.
Yeah. One thing that not enough people, I feel, have pointed out is just how good it looks. Like,
yeah, it is very pretty.
Like, all the sprites have just these crazy number of frames of animation. And it doesn't look like they're using that many cheats like Muramasa or even A Boy in This Blob do. Like, I don't see that much rotational animation and stuff like that.
Right. I thought that was very cool in Castlevania X on the Sega Genesis.
Oh, man. I love... Okay, let's not get on the tangent, but Castlevania for Genesis was so good. Okay. Glazing over that, other than, you know, it's one of the best Mario RPGs now. Ranking up in the upper echelons. The final game I'll talk about is... I thought I was going to now talk about a Shin Megami Tensei game, but now I just realized I've been playing it. Persona for PSP.
That was
Persona 1.
Yeah.
Weren't you mad because we were saying we didn't want it?
Yeah, you
made some posts after...
Yeah, you just refused to even look at it. You're like, not good enough for me.
Okay, well, when does that Persona 3 for the PSP come out?
It came out in Japan not too long ago. God knows when it will come here, but I'm sure it will at some point or another.
See, I want that so much more.
Yeah, well, you know what? Well, I mean, to be fair...
What are you going to do about it, Sword Guy, huh? You want to do something about it?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to fight?
You live up in Ohio. That's like a weekend drive for me.
Wuss out. Yeah, okay.
Right.
You know, you live in Ohio? Where do you live?
Wait.
He said we live in Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh,
I live in Missouri.
He's talking about us.
Oh, I got confused.
I live in bumfuck
If you
Missouri.
Said something, if you disrespected me, you could live in the goddamn North Pole. I'm coming after you.
All right.
That's okay.
Right.
It's a weekend drive. Let's do it. Okay, anyway. I will give you that Persona 3 portable. They do... Now they have gentlemen's suits with top hats and whatever else for your male characters. But Persona PSP actually is, for the most part, a new experience in that it actually made that first game playable.
See, that's not a ringing endorsement.
Well, okay.
It's playable now.
It made it beyond playable. It actually made it good for the first time in 11 years-ish. Because
it's like your complaint, Mike, of the Final Fantasy V PS1 port to the Game Boy.
Yeah.
That was a translation thing. Okay.
Well, anyway. The translation was shit in the original, but...
Oh, that's probably true.
Yeah, they...
Did they pretend that it took place in America?
Yeah, in the totally American city
bad.
Of Lunar Vale that had that just so happened to have Hindu shrines and footlockers at the front of the school and a
Phoenix
shop.
Phoenix Wright kind of has that problem where it's like, yeah, this is in L.A.
and here's a noodle stand. And
there was a shop
shrines.
Called
and a pharmacy with an annoying theme song.
Yeah, there was a shop called Satomi Tadashi. But anyway, so right now I'm playing through the Snow Queen quest, which is brand new content for North America.
Holy shit.
Yeah, crazy.
It's actually.
But it's actually a pretty substantial, like, 20-hour thing, which...
Jeez.
Yeah, now that I'm experiencing it, I mean, I had read a lot about it, and I had tried a bit of the Japanese version and gotten lost, because kanji is the written equivalent of the Rubik's Cube. But, I had, you know, I knew a bit about it, but it's interesting to see how much that Snow Queen side quest inspired Persona 3. Just because
really?
You're climbing towers like Hypnos Tower, Nemesis Tower, and Thanatos Tower. Well, you know, Persona 3 had that whole Greek mythology undercurrent to it, where your main character is Orpheus, you were venturing into Tartarus, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this also has the main story of the game has a Hinduism undertone, but this one's a bit more Greek. It's just, it's different. It's based on Hans Christian Andersen's story. Just kind of strange to me, foreign so far. But I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And the reason you should play it is that it is... I can't think of a single reason now that I've said... Oh, good. I'm glad I introduced the point and can't back it up.
There you go.
I just... So that whenever a game is in... Whenever a game that's not a first-person shooter is in that first-person mode, it looks cheesy and bad to me. Like, even, like, Dragon Quest, when the battles are in that sort of first-person mode, I can't stand it for some reason.
Well, the battles are third-person in this.
Right, I know the battles are, but still, I don't like the idea of first-person dungeon crawling at all.
Well, for the most part, it's not like... You know, it's like rocks on the walls and stuff. It doesn't look that bad. But...
Right.
I don't know. It's one of those things... I mean, yes. I mean, it looked like shit even in 1996, and it still looks kind of crappy now. Even though it doesn't have that whole PS1 polygon warping thing. But,
Right.
And yeah, it looks a little bit cheesy, but honestly, it's just the movement. It's not that big a deal.
Okay. Is the cast of characters as engaging as the Persona 4 and Persona 4 cast?
Persona 4?
Persona 3 and Persona 4.
Persona 4 times 2. They're definitely different. Well, this is Persona 1, so, you know, it's still barely removed from Shin Megami Tensei mainline series, so there's a lot less talking involved.
Really?
But they still do a lot of characters... Well, they do a much more characterization than they did in the Shin Megami Tensei main series. And that main series was more about, like, the world and the actual events that were happening there. But these, they actually, you know... bother giving motivations to the characters. It's a crazy idea.
Alright.
But,
Anything else?
Yeah, it has the first gay character I've ever encountered in a video game.
Yeah, there you go.
The first time that I can... that I've found.
First time I met a gay character in a video game was when me and AJ were playing Mario.
Oh, snap.
I don't get it.
You're gay.
Yeah.
Mr. Gay.
I wasn't in the game, Mike.
When you played as Luigi,
you were personified through it, and you were become gay.
Yeah, you lost.
What I really appreciate, though, is
you can't just... I can't just be funny, and you say, oh, that wasn't funny, and then all of a sudden it's not funny. I don't care what you say.
Sure,
it was great.
I can.
No.
Okay. What's good is that they don't actually make a big deal out of it, though, like I am now.
Right.
They just, like, it's subtly hinted at in the Snow Queen quest, which is why I didn't really know that before. But that means her. The fact that she is gay makes about two of your...
Wait, she is gay.
Oh, she's gay?
Yeah.
Oh, now it's lesbians. Okay, hang on.
That's never as courageous as the male gay guy.
It isn't. If you've seen her, she has kind of a butch haircut, so...
Okay, if she's, like, real lesbian, sure, but...
Well, now you're stereotyping, Mike.
What do you mean I'm stereotyping?
I know plenty of lesbians, and they look like normal people.
Anyway.
So I'm sorry if I offended our giant lesbian demographic on the Exploding Bro podcast.
I brought this up.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Hey, Mike.
What?
Do you know the composer for Kingdom Hearts music?
Yeah.
Name her.
Yoko Shimomura? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, guess what? She does the music for Mario and Luigi.
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know she did awesome. Music for Street Fighter 2?
She did, yeah. She's actually one of my favorite composers.
She was in the Red Rocks episode as well.
Yeah, I have her one CD that she came out with called...
Dramatica,
which is awesome. It's got her one Final Fantasy Versus 13 song already on it, which is so good.
Yeah,
okay.
So
4 years before the game comes out.
Yeah.
maybe less, who knows?
Seriously, I still listen to that Kingdom Hearts soundtrack song, so...
Did you get the Omega one that has, like, 7 discs or something like that?
I did not get that. I don't know. I don't know how much I need all the filler one song so much.
Just get the Legend of Mana soundtrack.
Right.
Oh my god, that one.
So good.
That's giant as hell. Up. Anyways, anything else? We ready to move on to game releases?
Yeah. Yep.
Man, we still done game releases.
All right, AJ, go ahead.
Okay, WiiWare, Ghost Mansion Party, which I guarantee to be awesome. And Tales of Monkey Island Chapter 3 is out.
Wait, when did it come out?
Oh, of course. Monday.
Three.
Yeah.
Right.
They're all kind of behind. Virtual Console, we got Zombies Ate My Neighbor for the SNES.
So good.
Were
you pausing so that somebody can say something about it?
No, he did, so. Yeah, I was about to say, it's a Halloween
thing. Oh, I think everything just went out for me for a second, sorry. Sorry for being a jerk.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors is a great top-down shooter. If you play only one game where you play as a blonde kid wearing 3D glasses shooting a giant mutant baby, play this one.
Well said. We also have Golden Axe for the Genesis is on the Virtual Console at long last.
No, Arcade.
Oh, it's the Arcade version?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wrote that down wrong.
Who cares?
DSiWare, Picture Book Games, The Royal Bluff, and Sudoku by EA. Xbox Live Arcade, Rainbow Islands, Towering Adventure, and Inferno Pool. I don't know what that is. Two new games on demand, Dead Space for $20, which isn't bad, and Dirt. On the PlayStation Network, you also have Inferno Pool and Hasbro Family Game Night. We have two new PSP minis, Zombie Tycoon and Yummy Yummy Cooking Jam, and another little slew of PSP games, Loco Roco Midnight Carnival, NBA 2K10, Darkstalker Chronicles, The Chaos Tower, Mega Man Maverick Hunter X, which is a great game Fantastic. Everyone should play, but it's probably not worth $20 right now.
Whatever.
You could probably get the UMD of that for $5. Crystal Defenders.
More like $10.
That's true. Pets Dogs Family, Pets Hamsters Bunch, and Pets Saddle Club. And
God.
Good Old Games has Darkfall the Journal and, very excitingly, Divine Divinity, which I know Pete likes very much.
What's the... I don't know much about it, but its title is
kind of a game that's in between Diablo and Baldur's Gate, I think.
Okay, fair
yeah,
enough.
It's supposed to be really good. Supposedly it has that sort of, like, Diablo-style movement, but with much more... I shouldn't be talking about this, I don't jack about it. But,
yeah, it's a little deeper than Diablo, but not quite as deep as Baldur's
Gate. Yeah, it's like Diablo movement and action mixed with that kind of depth and character customization and stuff that you get a lot of that in Diablo, too. Fuck.
Yeah. Moving on.
Ready,
we've
guys,
never played this game.
All right. Pretty big week for retail releases.
Yes.
We missed a news announcement, actually.
It's a little late for that, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just wanted to put it in there. Excitebike remake for WiiWare. Early November.
Yeah, I guess I could have thrown that in there.
I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, it's a 2.5D remake of Excitebike with online multiplayer and a track editor. Actually, it does look pretty sweet.
Yeah, and most of the people who... played it say it's pretty sweet, which is surprising because I never had. I mean, I kind of liked Excitebike, but I was never that into it.
Well, I mean, it was what it was.
I remember buying that game at the Children's Palace.
Yeah, that's nice. Anyways,
I bought the e-reader cards for Excitebike.
That stupid thing.
So, retail games: Ratchet and Clank Future Crack in Time came out for PS3. Tekken 6 for 360 and PS3. I just can't give a shit about Tekken.
And I understand the online play in this game is bad.
Everyone needs to look at Blaze Blue for an example of good online. Although, there's this hilarious video on Destructoid. It was like a just 10-minute like montage of clips from a Tekken anime. It was hilarious.
Oh, I think
God,
I've seen some of that.
Nina got eaten by a dinosaur or something?
Yeah, he's fighting dinosaurs that have camouflage.
Oh, good.
Wow.
At one point... the main bad guy, whatever, like, someone throws an axe at him, and he, like, catches it in his teeth. the one girl goes up to the one guy and says, "Why are you so mad? Is it because your father threw you in a cliff?"
What? Fucking nonsense.
It's pretty funny. Okay. So there's that. Borderlands for 360 and PS3.
No, this is the PC version. Regular version came out last week.
Oh, see, this thing isn't saying what the platforms are anymore.
You have to look at the picture. It'll have the picture, and if there's more, it'll list them. They changed it.
Oh, okay. Forza Motorsport 3. Yeah, I guess Borderlands has been out now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Forza Motorsport 3 for 360. Grand Theft Auto 4, The Ballad of Gay Tony.
Yeah, the download came out, and the disc came out this week that has Gay Tony and the other one.
Lost in the Damned.
Yeah, as like a single disc.
Is it confirmed a disc?
What's that?
Is it really a disc?
Yeah, it's a disc that has both of the DLC things as like standalone titles.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Painkiller Resurrection for 360.
And PC.
We'll see. What the heck?
See how the picture is a PC box, but it also says 360 next to it?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's stupid. All right. Torchlight. What the heck is Torchlight?
Torchlight is... Remember...
Mythos.
Yeah, remember Mythos, which was, like, the good thing that came out of Hellgate? But then, like, after everything from the company got sold to Korea, these guys went on to make Torchlight, and it's digital only, it's $20, it's on Steam, their website, Direct to Drive, and I understand it's actually really awesome.
Yeah, that's what I've been
doing. There is a demo that just came out, too, so I'm at least going to check that out sometime this week.
Yeah, apparently it's designed to run on low-end piece-of-shit PCs, so that's targeted to me.
Yeah.
DJ Hero for Wii, PS2, and 360. Apparently everyone hates it.
And PS3.
I don't hate it. I'm just completely apathetic.
It got an 8 from GameStop.
Okay.
GameSpot.
Yeah, GameSpot. Stop.
Some Saw game. I don't know what it came out for.
PC. It's a Steam exclusive, I think.
FIFA Manager 2010.
So much fun.
For, what, PC?
I guess. Assume.
Yeah. See, this is telling you it's confusing, because sometimes I don't even have pictures. Anyways, FIFA Soccer 10, PC, finally, I guess. In the League of Legends, The Clash of Fates. I always love really bad generic titles for PC. The League of Legends, The Clash of Fates. What the hell does that even mean?
Don't worry about it.
No, I'm really concerned.
Don't be. It's
time
to go to bed.
The Clash of the Fates.
Episode 1.
Part 2.
The Hoop Sparkly Saga.
Yay.
Avatar Tutors.
All right, everyone, we're done. That's it.
All right.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us...
too.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. I still have to play Ratchet & Clank. You can find more of us at SquadronShield.com.
Oh, yeah. It's 1:52 for me.
Oh, you asshole.
Yeah, I know. I need to... No, wait, sorry. It's 12:52. Whoops. This clock's an hour off. Whatever. Either way, I still don't go to bed for another hour. Yeah.
You can find more of us at SquadronOfShame.com or at ExplodingBarrel.wordpress.com. You can follow us at Twitter at Twitter.com/ExplodingBarrel. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be here next week, right here on the Exploding Barrel podcast.
Yay.
Good night and good luck.
Fart. Maybe.
He said fart.
Thank you.